This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. For over a decade, neuropsychologist Dr. Nick Bott has been researching age-related cognitive decline and prevention strategies. He wants to reshape the accessibility and affordability of cognitive health care. And Dr. Bott, we certainly appreciate your joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. Our pleasure. So tell us, what is NeuroTrack and what is the company's mission to kick things off today?
Absolutely. So NeuroTrack is a digital health company out in Silicon Valley, and we're on a mission to transform the measurement and the management of cognition and memory loss for related diseases like Alzheimer's, for example. And if you take a step back, you know, when you think about kind of the demographics within our country and worldwide, right now about 5.5 million, maybe up to 6 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's or related dementia. And there's more than 44 million worldwide, but that rate's doubling about every 20 years. So by 2050, we're looking at almost 130 million individuals worldwide with the disease. So increasingly, cognitive decline and pathological cognitive decline is becoming a healthcare crisis, not just for the U.S., but for the world.
Yeah, certainly some eye-opening numbers that you just shared there. Now, tell us, how does NeuroTrack work? What does it do in regards to the technology?
Yeah, so NeuroTrack is a, as I said, a digital health company that both looks at using kind of advanced technologies to measure cognition through smart devices like phones, tablets, or your laptop, as well as a digital therapeutic that's accessed through through an app. On the assessment side, we actually utilize specific sensors in your smart devices, including your device-embedded camera, to measure aspects of your eye tracking along with other types of response. So what we call it is multimodal cognitive assessment. And on the intervention side, we're really taking kind of the existing scientific interventions that have been shown, non-therapeutic or non-pharmacological interventions that have shown efficacy in at-risk populations and making them available through an app and health coaching. So we're really trying to close the gap between, as I said, measurement and management of aspects of an individual's cognition, and specifically the assessment and the interventions that we already know work to reduce risk and delay onset of cognitive decline.
Tell us, what is the impact lifestyle changes like diet, exercise, and social interaction can have on a person's memory health? Touch on that from your experience.
Absolutely, and I think this has been an area of research that has been growing for the last decade and is starting to really become more and more of a focus within clinical research. And clinical understanding of how we think about an individual's cognition as we age. You know, we've spent about four decades trying to develop pharmacological agents, drugs that can either delay or prevent pathological cognitive decline, like in diseases like Alzheimer's disease, and we just have not had success yet. And but one of the kind of fortunate byproducts of those four decades of research is we've actually learned quite a bit about all of the different ways that aspects of our physical health can impact our cognitive health. And so, you know, to date, we understand more than ever that aspects of exercise, diet, sleep patterns, stress, and even kind of ways that we engage or not engage in using our brains, right, being cognitively and socially engaged, all have an effect on the resilience and performance of our brain as we age. And that's really exciting because as we continue to look at, you know, our own country and worldwide with, you know, with our populations continuing to get older, many, many more individuals are wanting to do what they can to give themselves the best possible kind of aging trajectory, not just when it comes to their physical health, but their cognitive health. And that's where lifestyle changes become that much more important, because we don't have the option to give people a pill at this point, but increasingly we do have the option to give people a lot of great information and, importantly, even interventions that can impact each of these areas, which cumulatively can really start to move the needle on a person's cognitive aging trajectory.
Also, Dr. Bott, with the industry emphasis on the role pharmaceuticals could play in the preservation of cognitive health and treatment of cognitive decline, why focus on lifestyle changes?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think one of the things that many of us in this field, I think, want to combat is this notion that it's an either or. So one of the areas that I like to areas of health that I like to point out as an analogy is how we think about our cardiovascular health. You know, 30 and 40 years ago, we didn't have as many drugs on the market that could take care of aspects or help manage aspects of our cardiovascular health, like hypertension or hypercholesterolemia, et cetera. Today, thankfully, we have these sorts of drugs. That being said, we also know that individuals who are engaging in lifestyle behaviors and make lifestyle changes in their cardiovascular health around physical exercise and diet have an exponential kind of benefit when they're taking these drugs. And I think what we're going to see increasingly in the space of cognitive health and cognitive decline and fighting kind of diseases like Alzheimer's disease is a combination approach. You know, I remain optimistic and very hopeful that we are going to find drugs in the near future that will be able to kind of make a dent in the pathological forms of cognitive decline that we see in Alzheimer's. I also believe wholeheartedly that what we're going to see is that the combination of those drug interventions with interventions that are non-pharmacological in nature that are really helping adults as they age to stay active across the aspects of physical and mental health that we know are important for overall cognitive health over time, that those the combination of those two is really what's going to be needed to delay or perhaps even prevent some aspects of pathological cognitive decline.
Certainly some most helpful information today. We are speaking with neuropsychologist Dr. Nick Bott of NeuroTrack here on eHealth Radio's health news and technology channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, looking at NeuroTrack, how has NeuroTrack been working to bring their product to market so far?
Yeah. So interestingly, one of the places that we are already working is actually in Japan. If you may not know, Japan is what we call a hyper-aging society. So they already have a large proportion of their population over the age of 65. But to kind of put it in perspective, by 2050, about 17% of the world's population is going to be over 65. In Japan specifically, by 2050, almost 40% of their population is estimated to be over the age of 65. So Japan as a country is uniquely interested in how to tackle some of these really, really hard age-related health problems like Alzheimer's disease and dementia. And we're actually already partnering with certain health and life insurance companies over there that are focused on developing insurance products specifically for individuals that are at risk or may end up having the disease as a way to give their customers, their members, more accessible information about their cognitive health, as well as give them opportunities to engage in a in an intervention, a multi-domain intervention that we've developed that can help them kind of take charge of their cognitive health from a multi-domain perspective.
Now, even taking that further, where do you see the biggest opportunities and biggest challenges in the adoption of technology like NeuroTrack's memory health platform?
Well, I think that one of the challenges that I think we face when we look at any form of technology to deliver an aspect of healthcare is just how kind of tech fluent or how easy it is for an individual to really make the technology actionable in their own life. And certainly for us, as we are working with populations that are older, that's something that we take very seriously as we design our products to make them really accessible for older adults as well as, you know, as well as kind of middle-aged adults. And I think what we're going to continue to see, both from a tech fluency standpoint, but also just from kind of the larger shift in individuals' willingness and interest in accessing ways to manage their health in general through apps or through technologies that kind of fall outside the typical walls of a hospital or a health clinic. I think we're going to see just increasing numbers of individuals wanting to utilize these sorts of technologies as a way to make it easier, to make it more scalable and more accessible. I also think that, you know, with any kind of healthcare-related product, right, there has to be an understanding that the information that they're getting is trustworthy, and that the ways that we are kind of working to bring either aspects of assessment of one's cognition or ways that they can engage in intervention to help their cognition is something that they kind of believe and trust. And, you know, for us at NeuroTrack, you know, we are a science-based company, and kind of the core of what we do is to develop really, really great scientific-based products that we can put into the hands of individuals with confidence, because we know at the end of the day that our products, if we really want to help those who are concerned and want to take charge of their cognitive health, our products are only going to be as helpful as individuals are able to get them in their hands and trust that, you know, this is really a product that I believe in and really a product that I know is going to provide me accurate information and data about my cognition and how I can manage it.
Most helpful response, and can't thank you enough for all the details shared so far on the program. Now, looking ahead, what's next for the company, and where are you investing your resources, and what strategic partnerships are you seeking to develop?
Absolutely. Well, as I mentioned, you know, we're already kind of working internationally, and we will be continuing to deepen partnerships that we have in Japan as well as in other markets internationally. But we're really, really excited to be working to get this into the hands of those in the U.S. as well. We have a number of academic research partnerships in which we're already engaged, and we're really excited to begin to get our products out, hopefully in the next 9 to 12 months to individuals in the U.S. As the chief science officer, I'm very much focused on continuing to build out the platform of ways that we can offer assessments to individuals through phones and tablets and their laptops, and to continue to refine and push the envelope in terms of the types of sensors and technologies we can utilize, from smart devices to give people the most accurate measurements of cognition that we can, that can empower them to feel comfortable looking at cognition as a part of their health, just like they would look at something like their blood pressure or their pulse or their weight. And more importantly, to give people a structured intervention that they can access through an app that has, you know, that has help through community, that has help through health coaches, that can really be used to give them a sense of self-efficacy, that they can actually take charge of their cognitive health today and begin to take steps to ensure that it remains as resilient as it can be in the future.
Certainly a lot going on, a lot of plans, and certainly appreciate your vision and what you're doing in the space. In conclusion, what tips do you have for people who are concerned about their long-term cognitive health, and how can they take control of their memory health today?
Yeah, I mean, what I like to say is we need to take a top-down approach to our health. I think, you know, we've lived for way too long with an understanding that our physical health is really disconnected from our brain health. And increasingly what we're realizing is that your brain is a part of your physical health just like your heart is. And we need to recognize that aspects of our general physical health are going to impact our brain. And then there are some specific aspects of our health with respect to our brain that we need to be aware of. So, you know, as we age, we tend not to be as cognitively engaged and as cognitively active. And we need to be kind of open to taking on new challenges from a cognitive perspective, whether that's learning a new language or picking up a new musical instrument or continuing to play one that we've played from our childhood. And we need to be aware that things like exercise, diet, and sleep aren't just good for our bodies, right? But they're actually incredibly important for our brains as we continue to age. And the other thing I would say is, you know, something as a clinical psychologist and neuropsychologist I see all the time is that, you know, behavior change is difficult. And one of the trickiest things that people have to deal with when they try to make any change in their behavior is that it's not an all or nothing proposition, right? If we set up an enormous set of changes that we want to make, we're more than likely going to fail. But especially with memory health and cognitive health, we need to be willing to start small and be consistent. And that's going to really grow and develop our self-efficacy so that we can make more and more changes as we go that are ultimately going to benefit our cognitive health in the long term.
Well, Dr. Bott, again, we thank you for what you do in this space and for introducing NeuroTrack to the audience. Where can listeners get further details on NeuroTrack and be in contact as needed?
Absolutely. You can visit our website at neurotrack.com. We also have groups that you can join, and we have a blog that continues to publish aspects of the work that we're doing, as well as keep individuals informed on kind of developments in the broader cognitive health space.
Again, Dr. Bott, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much.
Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Nick Bott, neuropsychologist and chief science officer of NeuroTrack, and for all the details, visit neurotrack.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.